Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes.
Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
A grab bag of Bonnaroo goodness today. Welcome into the What Podcast. We have Plaza news. The Outer Roo lineup is out. We dive headfirst, set the table for Coachella Weekend 1, and play some of your voicemails, all in an effort to find our 2023 Bonnaroo winner. All that and Barry twerking today on the What Podcast. Barry, Lord Taco, Brad Steiner. It starts soon. Right now.
You're always trying to do your best. Don't worry about what happens next. Cause it never ends if we just begun. We crash into the setting sun. Together and we'll tell everyone. We radiate when we're done.
Hi, baby.
Hey, how was your Easter, Steiner?
Oh, it's going to be one of those. Yeah.
Great opening.
Oh, it's going to be one of those days. Happy happy 60-some-odd days to Bonnaroo. I'm Brad. It's Barry, Lord Taco. Welcome into the What Podcast. A big week this week. A lot of news to get through and voicemails to play for you. It could mean Bonnaroo tickets. If you haven't submitted a voicemail, it's very simple. Just call Had More Russ. Dial on your pad, HADMORRUSS, and leave us a voicemail. Tell us the Bonnaroo story, and it could mean Bonnaroo tickets for you. Barry, Taco, how are you, kids?
I'm great.
I'm great.
Yeah? Good. Glad we cleared that up. Okay. So let's start with the big news this week. We'll get to the plazas here in a second, but I want to start with we're Coachella week. How are you celebrating Coachella week one, guys?
Man, better than last year.
Yeah, were you?
But similar. But
what were
similar.
You doing last year? Did you watch any of the streams from last year?
Nothing. You know what? I think I did, actually. I'll probably drop in on some of those. Yeah, it's interesting that people do that.
I love it.
I know we kind of got used to it, during the pandemic, and it gives you a look. But it's different, isn't it?
It does feel like the first, it's our opening salvo. It's like the opening ceremonies to festival season, and it gets us a little bit into it. The problem is like the lineup for Coachella, I'm just not a big fan of. So when I see the live stream schedule, I don't know if it's out yet or not as of this recording, but man, I love the Coachella live stream. They do a great job with it.
Yeah, they do a nice job. It's just an interesting thing to me because I'm like, before all these festivals came online, you know, would I have watched this? It's kind of fun to put on in a background kind of thing. And then we had live festivals, and then we got these opportunities because we couldn't meet. So I'm still a little bit sort of conflicted, but they have gotten way better at how they present them.
Really, really good. And then there was this news, I don't know if you saw it on Variety, but a few weeks ago they said that it's going to be free on YouTube through 2026. One of my favorite things to do is sort of like live text our buddy Nick Turner while we're watching the Coachella live stream. I just wish that I had the schedule, and I don't know if they've posted it anywhere. Boy, it really does feel like the first entry, our first step into festival season, and it gives you a little preview of the shows that you're watching. And was it the year that Lizzo was supposed to play, and then she played the Coachella, and I watched it on the live stream, and I had friends of mine saying, wow, if that's the show that we're about to get, then I'm really, really excited about it. So keep an eye on that live stream schedule that comes sometime this week so you can get a little taste of what Bonnaroo may just be like for you this
summer. Let me ask you this, because you brought it up. And I know you probably don't watch because it's trendy and popular.
Mr. Belvedere.
Did you see? Have you seen the Mandalorian episode with Lizzo?
I just watched that the other day. Absolutely. I was going to bring that up. Yeah. Lizzo's in Star Wars.
I know Brad doesn't. Yeah, because, you know, it's cool. He's the cool kid that doesn't watch anything that everyone else is watching. So, but what do you think?
I have not spent, Taka knows this about me, I have not spent 1 second with like Star Trek and Star Wars. I just can't do it. It's
Part of why I brought it up is so you have to say that.
That's not being me cool kid.
Yes, it is.
No.
It's 100% you being cool kid. What do you think, Taka?
All right, well, we'll talk about it.
I don't do well with space stuff. I don't do well with space stuff and fantasy things. I'm sorry.
Well, then let me talk about space stuff. So Lizzo was in there. She was a guest.
I would love for you to.
Okay. She was a guest with Jack Black.
Jack Black.
They played like a king and queen. And Lizzo, I love Lizzo. She's not the most experienced actor. She was kind of like, looked like she was reading her lines, you know, kind of off screen.
I love Mandalorian. I thought it was a little, it's a cartoony show, 100%, but I thought it was a little too cartoony. But I did want to ask about it.
It's great. This one, and then they shoved Christopher Lloyd in there out of nowhere. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
So in one episode, they've got Lizzo, Christopher Lloyd, and Jack Black all guest starring. These like minor bit roles.
Wait, so what is Jack Black doing?
He was playing on the show.
He was playing a king. He was like a king. I think he was a king of a planet, and he and Lizzo were in love, so they were the king and queen.
Well, that's how you know it's realistic.
Like in real life, Lizzo's our queen, Jack Black is our king. It was like a detective episode. It was almost like watching an episode of CSI Miami or something, you know, because it was like there's a mystery and they got to go talk to people and solve the mystery, and you know, then it was almost Scooby-Doo-ish. I don't know if I should spoil it, but you know, like the end, it's like,
Did somebody's mask get ripped off at the end?
Yeah, if it weren't for these dreadful kids.
Pretty much. Yeah.
If it weren't for these awful kids, we would have.
Interesting. I had no idea.
It's very interesting. That's why I brought
fun.
It up.
It was a fun little episode.
It was a big surprise. You're right. Christopher Lloyd, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd, was he any sort of like a, by the way, I'm excited about talk about Christopher Lloyd because it allows me to talk about Back to the Future ever. It's my favorite movie of all time. They're about to do a Back to the Future play on Broadway here, and every now and then I keep getting pictures of random Christopher Lloyd sightings in the city, and every time it's just like crazy old man walks down street. It looks like the weirdest, in the wild Christopher Lloyd moment that you can find. God, I love him.
Yeah. See, that's so funny. That's a zeitgeist thing. I've heard a lot of people your age that love Back to the Future. I liked it. It's not that movie for me. So, but that's an age thing. It's good.
I love it. And honestly, the story of how it was made is just as fascinating as the movie, really.
When you realize that it was, like, they did half the movie without, what's his name? And they did a whole other movie without him, and then they had to start it all over again when they fired the first actor.
Eric Stoltz was the first Marty.
Eric Stoltz,
shot, 60 to 80% of it with Eric Stoltz, and then they said, this isn't working. And then they brought in Michael J. Fox.
Watching some of those clips back, you're like, you're right.
This doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. This sucks.
This was the right call.
The Mandalorian thing would have gone right past me, but I'm glad we covered it in such fine fashion here on the What Podcast. Really glad we dug deep.
Tune in next week. We'll talk about Battlestar Galactica.
To talk. Lizzo yeah. and Star Wars franchises. Tune in next week. Boba Fett.
So Bonnaroo's big announcement this week was they came up with the plazas, the Outer Roo schedule, and you've got a lot of DJ Mel, and then it starts on Thursday with what I originally read as propagation with cheese, but it's actually propagation with Solis. I'm sorry, Solis, not cheese.
It does
cheese.
Look like cheese.
Zed's Dead, though. It does look like cheese, but Zed's Dead is the big Thursday night news, and then you get into Friday, and... you know, I'm not really familiar with anybody other than JP Sachs, which odd pick for a plaza, considering he's sort of like a more of a, I don't know, I just don't think that's going to be very hype, as the Ruhams would call it. I don't really know like how JP Sachs is going to fit on a Friday plaza, but then Saturday is the big one. Paris Jackson, the Beths, and the Moss. I love the Moss. And then our old friend Devin Gaffilian. Doing something. Devin, and then Devin's to me, the real eye opener is the Bob Moses club set. Bob Moses does a ton of club sets here in New York. In fact, they're doing like there's like this huge Bob Moses party that is some sort of like underground warehouse party every single year when like spring hits here in New York, which boy, I would do anything to get that Bob Moses club set. That to me is the eye opener.
Let me go back.
Okay.
On Thursday, mm-hmm. the Pride Parade with Big Frida.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about the Big Frida thing. Yeah.
The Pride Parade, I mean, you know, we don't do a whole lot of politics, but my beloved state, and I say that with a, you know, whatever, because we have been in the news for all the wrong reasons here lately, but this is a reaction to what's been happening here in Tennessee. So Big Frida is going to lead a pride parade, which I'm thrilled to see. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm thrilled to see a parade come back because I always felt like that was such a huge part of the early Bonnaroos.
Yeah.
And this one with a mission. And then that, just to say it while I'm talking, the Beths. Our buddy Parker's got to be thrilled. The Beths are on
hyped,
the
yeah.
Saturday lineup, but he's immaculate.
Immaculate.
Should be immaculate.
Well, I think the fun thing about the Pride Parade with Big Frida is that, there's the political stuff that swirls around it, but boy, there's not a more fun bounce party than you're going to find on the planet than with Big Frida. I want Barry to bounce.
What a great way to really kick off the week. This is...
Yeah.
Man, the
Big,
rough.
Big Frida came to Chattanooga, too, yep. right? I think I saw her with Hillary.
You did?
Yeah, you're going to throw your back out, Barry. You're going to throw
your
back out.
Well, this is our, you know, what is it? We said last week even, don't go hard first day, and that's going to be, there's trouble already.
Well, I know that.
Which means.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
Can I go back to the politics part of this for a second?
Yeah, sure.
I know it's not Manchester, but Justin Jones, who just got kicked out of the expelled from the Tennessee State House by the Republican supermajority, isn't he from Nashville? Isn't he the representative from Nashville? I wonder if you get a Justin Jones pop into Bonnaroo.
Oh, I imagine there's going to be a lot of photo op. Which is unfortunate because Bonnaroo has done such a great job of not sort of getting there, but then they do, not politically. You know, it's not been photo op type things, which is part of why
I think they step in to politics when they need to at the right times.
I do, but it's not been the photo op thing. Maybe I'm wrong. I've never
felt
right.
it. I think that you're right.
But this feels like it's sure going to be. But well, that's all right. Something needs
should,
to be done.
As it should, exactly. By the way.
100%. 100%.
So. I'm glad you mentioned that because I did kind of just go right past that and missed the Big Frida conversation, which means Big Frida's going to be there multiple days. And if Big Frida's there multiple days, I would love for her to pop up into random shows throughout the weekend. I don't know, like during Kendrick Lamar or if... You know, Fleet Foxes has a moment where Big Frida needs to come up and start doing some twerking. I'm in. I want all of that.
I hadn't thought about it this way until we're just now talking. But there may be a whole lot of these sort of photo op things because of what's been happening. So I'm not sure how I feel about that yet. Something needs to be said and done. 100% agree. It's just Bonnaroo has always managed to, except for, you know, some occasions. You know, the Bruce Springsteen, if you remember, I was just talking about this the other day when he was there, was the prior to the Obama's first election. And his whole set was about the working man. So it was very political, but that's him. And,
Wait a second.
Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder always, you know, has something to say. So
I think, no, but okay. I see what you're trying to say, but, Bonnaroo's never had a problem doing politics, and they've chosen the right moments to step in and make their brand's values a part of the overall political conversation. I don't think they've been afraid of that. I think they've chosen the right times to do it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. This one, I don't know. Like I said, I haven't probably thought it all the way through.
And frankly, I think that they should be over the top about at least the pride part of it, because, you know, what they're trying to do in Tennessee and remove just basic drag shows is so batshit crazy nonsense.
Yeah, you're
but
right.
I'm trying to figure out like where Justin Jones's district is, because
I was thinking it was Jackson, but it may be I may be wrong.
I don't know how far out. I mean, it's definitely Nashville.
Jackson's between Nashville and Memphis.
Oh, really? No, it's definitely Nashville. Nashville. Anyway, point that I'm making is that I wonder if we're going to get some of the state reps that got expelled from the state house.
You're right, and I'm wrong. I mean, even last year, we had our mayor was there to give Isaiah Rashad the key to the city. You're right. I guess I'm just maybe thinking it hasn't felt like it's come from Bonnaroo. It's come from the artist. But you're right. They have. They certainly haven't shied away.
Well, when it fits into the brand values of inclusion.
When it fits the brand.
Sure. Right.
I think this does, and I'm glad they're doing the parade. That's what I said. So.
No, I agree. Let's see. What else is on this Outer Rue Plaza schedule, which I feel like is very vast, very thick, very well done. I'm quite impressed.
As we've said in the last couple of years, they've really put a lot of effort into these, and it's become the kind of thing where you could really just kind of stay near your own campsite and have a great time. So,
mm-hmm. Well, there's one thing I do want to sort of flashlight on for a second, and I need Taco to, pull up the dictionary for us. What is twink trash?
I saw it just now. Can we say it on the podcast?
So you want me to poison my own Google history rather than
yes,
you? Okay.
I need
all
to.
Right, let's
I'm on a work computer, my friend. I'm on a work computer.
I like it. I saw that same thing.
By the way, that is an experience. That is an experience, mind you, not an artist.
I don't know, but if you called me that, I think my feelings would be hurt.
Well, is that before or after you see Grundlehead?
I know. I love it. I love it.
Or the bottom knocks.
It's funny.
This is a twink trash is an opera singing drag artist with a stutter.
It's even better.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away 2 tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
So one thing I did notice about this outer roof thing. You know, we talked about it in the past that we are no longer burdened with the Nashville country experience that was the Grand Ole Opry show, which I know some people still yearn for and have a soft spot in their heart for. But we all agree that the time had run out on the Opry show, right? So to make up for mm-hmm. that is the Hog Slop String Band. The Hog Slop String Band, I'm very, very excited about.
Anything with hog slop in it, yep, uh-huh. Gotta love.
I know,
yeah,
I know.
I didn't even see till just now, Sonali Rochatwar, the fat sex therapist.
Oh, come
wonder
on.
Wonder if you got to make her reservation.
Oh, man, stealing my bit, fat sex therapist. I think it's so fun. It's so diverse and so interesting. And I actually really find this to be quite impressive. Do you think that this is I think this is a big step forward for them from last year.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing. This is the kind of thing, right, when you when you leave and you're riding home, however long a ride you have, you think, man, I can't believe I got to see that. I went to see, you know, Foo Fighters, and I never expected all of the stuff that happened in the plazas. So, yeah, that's that value added. I mean, that's such a marketing kind of thing. But those are the kind of things that when you leave, this is why you had such a great time, right?
Mm-hmm.
The extras. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, too, is has everybody done, and this is a conversation for another day, but have you done a Google search on each one of these arts and experiences and artists that are on the Otteru lineup, just in case there is a name that is covering up the fact that Dave Grohl might be popping into one of these things? So, like, is Igrok, is that a real thing, or is that possibly a name that's just covering up the fact that that's really Dave Grohl?
Yeah, somebody will find it. Yeah, no, I have not.
That's the homework. Sure. That's the homework. Do a Google search on each one of these arts and experiences so that we can please. All right. All right. Then the other thing, we got the plazas, and the other thing we wanted to get to before we get to our high five this week is some of your voicemails that you've been leaving on Had More Russ. What's the actual number there, Russ?
423-667-7877.
Which spells out HAD, M-O-R, Russ. Leave us a voicemail. It could mean Bonnaroo tickets for you. GA and KP passes. So you want to play some voicemails so far that we've gotten there, BC?
Yeah, let's play a voicemail. But in the spirit of communication, we're not doing a high five this week. We have enough. So.
Oh, I thought we were doing a high five.
I know you did, but Russ and I talked yesterday. We're not.
Oh, okay.
We don't need
Guys,
we got planning.
We'll save it for another show.
Really
we got plenty.
Rehearsal.
if only there was like a thing on the internet where we could post these kind of communications and we could all see them. But anyway, whatever. Let's listen to one of these.
Yeah.
Okay. We ask people to call in that number and leave us either your favorite Bonnaroo moment or tell us why you would like to go for the first time.
Okay.
And so we pulled out about three of the voicemails, and we're going to listen to the one now. Okay. And naturally, again, in the spirit of communication, two of the three that I picked don't have names attached. So
it's the best case scenario for you.
I know. Well, I can't get it wrong, right?
Yeah.
All right, but here we go.
Favorite/most memorable Bonnaroo moment. It would have to be Bonnaroo 2014, my first Bonnaroo. A lot of memories attached to that one especially. But Durden Elton John set, he was playing Rocket Man, and somebody in the crowd let loose a Disney Toy Story Buzz Lightyear balloon, and it seemed like no matter where you were in the crowd at the wet stage, everybody just saw it. I don't know if that's like a Mandala effect, and some people are just remembering a memory that wasn't theirs, but I was there. And I saw it with my own eyes, not under the influence of any substances, and it was just very, very magical. Everybody together at the wet stage singing, but seeing Buzz Lightyear fly over the crowd, as Elton John said, I'm a rocket man, was amazing. Very good memory.
That is fantastic, because the lineup that year was ridiculed at the time. For things like Lionel Richie and Elton John, and the fact that you know, some of the best memories that we have of that festival was the Lionel Richie show and his with Elton John. Just goes to show you really don't know where the moments are going to happen. That's why you just got to be there.
Yeah, 100%. And it also reminded me of the year, and you're better at remembering years, when the parachuters jumped out of the airplane.
Oh, that's right. And, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, that was one of those moments I remember. I think I was standing next to our buddy Mike Dewar, and I was like, yeah, this is kind of another one of those reminders that this festival is kind of different.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool because I sure didn't see that coming.
I don't remember what year that was, but 2014, I'll never forget, because the thing that was circled for me with big red marker was Bobby Womack. And as a child who, or as a dude who grew up on 60s soul, and still to this day, that is the thing that I turn to more often than not every day of my life. Bobby Womack is one of my favorite artists on the planet, and I knew it was going to be the only time I would ever get a chance to really see Bobby Womack. And it was just like Solomon Burke the year before. It was really one of the more magical shows I've ever seen. And then turns out he would die 2 weeks later. So I legitimately saw his very last performance he would ever give. God, I mean, it still gives me chills. No, and the weird thing is, Barry, I kind of remember standing there, and I think I looked over to the wife at the time, and I said, I think this is it. I think I'll never see him again, but I don't know if anyone's ever going to see him again. It was just such a weird forecasting, but God, it was so great. That also is the year that if you go way, 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 way down the lineup somewhere in mid-afternoon, I don't know, maybe on a Saturday, a Mr. Sam Smith played a tent in mid-afternoon. You know, it's just a reminder that you keep going year by year further into the future, and this lineup, when you look back at it, looks really, really good. Even at the time, you might say to yourself, oh, this sort of sucks. That was also the year, Barry, if you remember, the early Sunday show was Janelle Monáe.
Yes,
God,
I do remember.
We were blown away by that show.
And I love her.
And in fact, it was the morning after the Lauryn Hill show, where all of us were like, or at least we were in our group, sort of underwhelmed by the Lauryn Hill show. It was great seeing her, but she was 50 minutes late and just didn't seem like she was there most of the time.
Janelle was one of those that I knew. I think we were doing record reviews at the paper, and hers came in, and I just fell in love with it. And I felt like when I went to that show, I felt like I was probably the only person there who knew who she was. And then it was packed. And then the show blew me away because it was so put together. I mean, there was not a movement, a person, a hair, anything out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And both of her shows there have been that way. I love her.
I do too. That was also the year I fell in love with my first show that year. I walked in and I saw King. Oh God! I just blanked on his name. King Khan, and the Shrines. And the whole time it was like this big, large, fat man, sweaty like crazy, screaming about how good a sex maniac he was. You know, it was so fun. God, it was so fun. But and then, you know, I went to see him then later on in Atlanta, and it's just the same show, but just dirtier and nastier. Yeah. And I fell in love at Bonnaroo that Thursday afternoon.
By the way, is there anything more old-timey sounding than record reviews at the paper?
Fair point.
And I say this as the guy with the fax machine.
Yeah,
fair point. I've been through vinyl. Well, actually, I worked at a record store when cassettes went away and 8-tracks went away, so that's how far back.
What was the latest video cassette VHS you got from Blockbuster, Barry? What was the last one you rented? One.
Probably a Christopher Lloyd movie, actually.
Actually, another... Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Taga.
Oh, I have a movie I rented from Movie Gallery back in the day, and I never returned. I still have it on my shelf.
Man, you are so
and that movie is True Romance.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Hey, but Taco.
What you were saying?
Yeah. I'll have that Chesterfield now.
I'll have that Chesterfield now. Yeah. Well, come over. We'll watch it on the VHS.
One of the great movie lines of all time, written by Knoxville, Tennessee's own Quentin Tarantino.
Nice. That's right.
I was just going to point out what you were saying about the lineup. We've been doing it so long. the Elton Johns and the Lionel Richies, you get to see, you know, the legends, but also the Discovery ones. And so, I mean, yeah, that's why I like this voicemail so much.
You know, we talked about last week about, you know, the moment in the year or the show that really sort of got you into Bonnaroo. Man, I keep coming back to that 2014 year. That's the year that we saw Cake eat at Waffle House. That was the year that I refused to go to Neutral Milk Hotel because I went earlier a couple of months before that and cried like a baby. And I looked around and I said, I cannot do that again. That was also the year that we saw, that was James Blake. I loved James Blake that year on the big stage. I mean, the way that he just filled up that stage with God damn, man, that show was so good. And then, oh, I feel like there was one other 2014 memory that cut through. Man, that was a good year. Oh, mm-hmm. God, that was a good year. And then I think about it more.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Waffle House because that reminds me, on our trip to St. Louis last week, we stopped at the Manchester Waffle House.
Look at you.
Yeah.
How was it? Everything you remember?
Everything. Yeah, it was delicious.
Uh-huh.
Not as many chairs being thrown this time.
Well, it was earlier in the sun was still up, right?
Sun was up, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many memories. I mean, the John Prine for me, and of course, I've said many times, I missed the Lionel Richie because I'm an idiot. Yeah, you know, probably everybody's top five for sure, maybe top mm-hmm. three best show ever. Mm-hmm. And I sat back at camp trying to make some point, you know.
Oh, my God. That's the other one I remember, Barry. The most overhyped show I've ever seen at Bonnaroo. It was because he had not done Bonnaroo yet. He had done Coachella the year before. We anticipated him on the lineup the year before. We didn't get him. We finally got him in 2014, and this was all 2 years after Channel Orange had come out. The Frank Ocean show was so underwhelming, and it was nothing. It was not his fault. He came in with huge expectations. The crowd was out of control, large. I don't remember seeing a crowd and feeling as packed into a tent crowd like that in any time at Bonnaroo. That crowd was way too big for a tent. And the problem is that Frank is such an understated singer. Like, he doesn't have a big, powerful voice that just, you know, takes over a stage like a St. Paul and the Broken Bones or Alabama Shakes. He's sort of a reserved singer, and he was sitting down a lot, and the crowd was so overpowering, singing every song, every line, every word, that I couldn't get into anything about that show. And we had been waiting for that Frank Ocean moment at Bonnaroo for 2 years. Really, really disappointed in that show, and I remember leaving early to go see, like, I don't know, I don't even remember what we left early for, but man, that was a real big disappointment.
Well, the other side of that for me, I mean, I was obsessed with the Macklemore hit. I don't remember. I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah, but that was not 2014.
No. You're just talking about whatever shows that surprised you, maybe, I guess, is what I'm going for. I mean, I just thought that was such a great
thrift shop.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, it's a Sunday afternoon, nothing, or Saturday, maybe Saturday after, nothing else. And I thought, oh, I'm going to go, man. Maybe he'll see the hit and I'll see the hit. That show blew me away, and it was packed, and he was great and emotional. That one, I had no, you know, didn't know he had 70 minutes of that.
Yeah.
It was terrific. And then, you know, again, we're naming names, I guess, but the opposite is Little Dicky. I didn't have a huge expectation, but I was looking forward to seeing the hit.
Yeah.
And it was awful. You know, he did about 10 seconds really, and he was like, guys, it's a video. You know, what do you expect? And,
yeah, it's really bad.
And his hype guy did, what, half of the show? So,
yeah, it was a disappointment.
You know, they're not all home runs.
Yeah.
But the other hand, you get those moments that you just can't get anywhere else. Man, and that Macklemore was one of those for me. That blew me away.
Well, I'm really glad you played that because now I've gotten all these 2014 memories just rushing back. Let's go to number two.
All right, here we go.
Hey, the What Podcast. My name is Aaliyah, and my favorite Bonnaroo memory. I've only been once, but it was for a business trip because my company, well, the company I worked for at the time, was doing a like something in Senaru. We were like doing outreach in Senaru. And my favorite memory is when I had went to go see Peach Pit, and there was some guy behind me that just like dropped, and come to find out he was like severely dehydrated. So I had like water, and I had like an extra water bottle in my pack, and I was like, here you go. Like, so he was drinking water, and then like he was fine, and then like another like 5 to 10 minutes passes, and he drops again. And so I had, like, a bunch of electrolyte packets in my pack. And the EMT comes up to me, and he's like, holy shit, dude, you got everything in there. So he starts acting. He's like, do you have gauze? And then, like, I pull out gauze, and he's like, oh, my God, dude, you're prepared. And I'm like, well, yeah, I always like to, you know, make sure that I can watch out for others around me. And so I thought that was pretty cool that he just, like, was randomly just, like, oh, so you got gauze in there? And I just pulled out gauze. But that was one memory. And then my other favorite memory is when I was walking around camp one night, and I ran into Haley Williams from Paramore, and this was in 2019. And she was like, hi, and I'm like, hi. And so I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stare. It's just, I said, one, I don't have my glasses, and two, I was like, I was pretty sure that was you, but I didn't want to, like, you know, be like, oh my God, hi, and like freak out. She's like, no, you're fine, it's okay. So I was telling her about like the nonprofit that I worked for at the time, how we were at Senaru, and she was like, I asked her, I was like, hey, like, you know, we have a like seminar thing coming up later tomorrow if you want to come and stop by. And she's like, yeah, I'll have to check it out. And so after I ran into her, took a picture with her and everything, and then I went back to my group. And I was like, you won't believe who I just met. So we started talking about it. And then my everybody in my camp, it was like 10 of us. I was like, I just met Haley Williams. And they all started like screaming. I'm like, guys, stop, stop, stop. I was like, I don't want to draw attention to us. So I was like, by the way, she may or may not be coming to our like seminar thing tomorrow. And our founder, like, her face went pale. And she's like, oh, my God, that means I got to leave camp because I got to go to, like, the nearest, like, craft store and get a bunch of stuff to make our organization look nice. Because it was our first year, and we really didn't know what we were doing. So we were like, oh, okay, like, we just put up, like, one banner, and that's it. And we had, like, a handmade banner. It was awful, but it was so funny to us looking back on it now. And so she ended up coming to our seminar for, like, half a second because, like, she peeked.
Yeah.
Podcast,
oh, we lost her. But yeah, I mean, no, at least she showed up. I mean, yeah. that's the headline for me. She showed up. She did what she said. I like that because both Peach Pit and Paramore coming back for 2023. Very nice little symmetry there.
I love both stories. You never know what you're gonna see. I like, you know, her story is it's not as funny as your Billy Joel story, but it's still a great story that she gets to tell. But I also love the first story where, and we've said this so many times, you know, you never know who you're going to meet and what you're going to need and what your neighbor's going to have or what you can have. You know, I've told the story many times. One of my first years when I came back to camp and the guy in the truck next to me had like a camper cover, and he was trying to reach something way in the back of his truck. And he's like, man, if I only had like a stick with a hook on it. And I pulled out a bamboo stick with a hook on the end. I said,
what,
and he was like, oh my God, his stick. It was a
big, long, huge stick.
But it had, stick, yeah. Had a weird hook on it.
With some sort of weird hook on it, yes.
but he was like, oh my God, that's perfect. And I was like, yeah, I have a truck, so I understand. But I love that part of it. You know, come prepared. You never know. And be prepared to help your neighbor.
Never thought to bring gauze.
I know, right?
No, but I think that's exactly right, Barry. She showed up for a business trip in 2019, not ever coming to Bonnaroo, and still lived the Bonnaroo code.
Exactly.
That's impressive. Mm-hmm. It's just exactly. Something about, like, even when you don't know how the code works, when you get there, it just sort of, like, takes you over no matter what. Yeah. I love that. Very, very nice call. Thank you so much, contestant number two that we don't know your name. And finally, number three.
No, that was Aaliyah.
That was Aaliyah. Oh, that was Aaliyah. Got it. Okay, sorry. All right, got it.
That was Aaliyah. This one I don't know. I think baby. He tells us his
baby
name.
Baby girl. Okay, number three.
One of my favorite stories actually takes place in line for Bonnaroo in 2019. I know this seems crazy, but hear me out. I'm not sure how familiar you are with the Bushy Branch Road entrance, but essentially it's one long road through a neighborhood that drives straight into Bonnaroo. Before the newly implemented daily entry system, the gates wouldn't open until 3 p.m. on Wednesday at the earliest. They would not allow you to even start forming a line before then either. If you wanted to show up any earlier, security would literally have you turn your car around and drive away. But if there's one thing about my dad, is that he's arriving early, and there is no room for any negotiation on that. So every year, we'd get to Manchester around lunchtime and pay the owner of the houses near the gate $20 or so to park there until Bonnery finally made the call and would allow the entry line to start forming. That plan went off without a hitch in 2017 and 2018. We were one of the first people in, got to camp on pod 2 with all the shady trees. It was amazing. But in 2019, once the gates were opened, the owner of the house wouldn't allow us to leave. We sat there for 30 minutes or so, watching a newly formed line of cars go through the gates who had not paid or even been waiting for any amount of time. Naturally, all of the people who were parked in the lot started getting upset. They began yelling and beeping their horns because the local homeowners, who had profited off of all of us, just decided to put us farther back in the line for no apparent reason. Mind you, there were about 25 or so cars parked in the man's yard, so he definitely made at least $500 off of us for doing nothing. All of a sudden, I see my dad get out of his vehicle and start walking out to the street on foot. I assume he's looking for an official Bonnaroo person to speak to, but instead what he's doing is walking slightly out of sight, putting on a black hat and a neon yellow high visibility vest that I didn't even know he owned, let alone decided it was important enough to pack for a 14-hour trip to Bonnaroo. He then just starts making hand signals to stop the line on the street from moving forward anymore and tells the homeowner to begin letting cars out of the yard. His plan totally worked, and my dad saved the day. The look on a homeowner's face was priceless when my dad took off the vest, got back in his car, which was the only one remained parked in his yard. Happy Rue.
That is fantastic.
If I'm gonna be good, I'm definitely going to bring my dad again so we can have an amazing Father's Day weekend together. Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
That is fantastic because there's always something weird that you bring that will come in handy. Like we bring caution tape and it looks very official when we like caution
once we
tape
get it up. Yep.
Yep. And I'll never forget one year. This has got to be 2005. I mean, when it was still the Wild West. I had a record guy. He tells me the story about how he would have a golf cart ordered and delivered to him at the front gate of Bonnaroo. And when the cart would get off of the truck, he would just start driving it around the thing like he owned the place. The resourcefulness of bringing your own orange vest just in case you need to pretend. I mean, think about the maybe cones. Cones are a good idea. I find that to be
clipboard.
So funny. Clipboard.
If you're carrying a clipboard, yes, you can get into anything.
Well, I don't give too many secrets, but a lot of lanyards. Oh, you, Brad, you did that for a number of years. Five or six, seven lanyards look really good.
Yeah, I took all of my lanyards that I got over the years, and I wore them all at once. And, oh, my God, does that play a Jedi mind trick on somebody thinking that you're very important?
Yeah, don't stop those, that right? guy.
Don't. He's got it.
Yeah.
And then if you're on your phone while you're walking past people, that helps even more.
Look angry. What always look
clever,
angry.
Clever trick by Dad. The other thing I love about that story is that she's going with Dad.
I love it. Yeah, people forget it's Father's Day weekend usually or right around. Yeah, so that's always fun. It reminds me, Brad, of the time we all went early and they made us wait before we could go in for the media day.
Oh, come on!
It was so funny. We had the best laugh. We look up, so we're in the parking lot. They're holding us out at the gate. There's only
a
handful of us.
This is a ridiculous story, Barry. This is not true.
But it's such a funny image. Because I look up, and Brad starts walking, and he's got the dad march. I'm going to see what's going on. I'm going to fix this. You were going to the porta potty, but we didn't know it. We had to watch you go 100 yards. It was
okay.
We laughed because it was like, do they know who I am? I'm gonna see about this right here.
Here's what happened. After the media day, we were worried that we were not going to be able to get in, and they pulled this thing on us that no, you need to wait. You can't come in just yet. And Barry's getting antsy. Barry's getting pissed. He's like, don't they know who I? That's what Barry's trying to put this off on me.
Projecting.
You're projecting on me, but you were really the one. Be like, I can't believe I've been doing this, and I'm here for hours. And then I'm like, all right. And then I just walk to the bathroom, and I come back, and Barry's like, yeah, did you show him who you were, big man? I was like, I went to Blas and Tinky.
It reminds me of that
picture of Kid Rock walking down the beach, like, you know, lifting his arms up.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
I'll just see about this.
I'll show them. It's just a ridiculous story that Barry has completely made up. That's not what happened.
One of the hardest I've ever laughed, so whatever. It was funny.
And then what happened afterwards? We got in.
We got in pretty soon after. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. You're welcome.
Funny.
Welcome.
Barry, you figured out the kid that you were talking to was from Chattanooga, and then he was like, oh yeah, y'all going in.
Oh, that was later. That was actually the year before. That's when we got in, and yeah, I had my
Oh, so there's multiple stories of Brad.
Oh, Brad's got a bunch. The other funny one was the record label guy came up and was like, you know, Brad, when I first met Brad, I thought he was a dick. We were like, really? Do tell more. And he went, oh. I just kept feeding him rope. Really, Brad?
what you really wanted to say is we all have. We all know the same thing.
It was so funny because people sitting there were catching bits of us, and then they were, you know, engaged. Like, this is great. What's going on? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That was a good one too.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Yeah, it is a common. It is a common theme that the first impression is really not a very good one.
So we're like, you have met Brad. You know Brad.
I always win in the end, Barry. I always win in the end.
The story you're talking about, Taco, is this was the year we probably had our biggest group. I bet we had 28 people. So we had I had the police tape, you know, the do not cross, and got there and thought, man, I'm going to have to hold an acre, a half acre, and get out of the car, and I have a Songbirds hat. Songbirds Museum is a Chattanooga place. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to be able to by myself. But this kid says, oh, Songbirds, I work there. And I'm like, okay, I'm in. And he's like, yeah, we'll figure it out. You guys can – normally they park you first in. You know, you go wherever you – and he's like, y'all go ahead and do what you want to do. And I said, thanks. And I'm just about to start setting up, and here comes Brad driving up. No way. He didn't even have the window down. This will never work. Hell no. And he's cussing in the car, and me and the kid are just looking. I said, just let him go. Let him have his moment. And you finally got out, and I said, Brad, I got it handled. Relax. This will never. No.
That's exactly how it happened. That's not how it went, but whatever.
Exactly how it happened.
Whatever. That's not how it went.
Okay, but whatever.
Uh-huh, okay. The reason I was angry about that because what you were talking to somebody who was letting us do whatever we wanted to, but then there was another person right next to them telling me what to do in the complete opposite direction. That's what I was yelling about, but you, of course, just saw me yelling. It's like, well,
yeah, I didn't know why.
Brad's just doing his angry guy thing.
I got it handled, if you'll just relax. God. I've never done that where my first inclination is to, you know, try to intervene. And I just said, I'm going to sit back and just let this play out because there's too many things going on.
It's like you feed on me hanging myself out to dry when I'm really not even doing anything wrong.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, right. Do we have anything
else? Anyway, those were good.
Any other stories you want to make up about me before we go?
No, Russ, you want to give folks the details?
Details on
the voicemails we got. Today is the last day, so right.
Today's the last. Well, by the time this comes out, it'll be over. So
well, we got that, they got today to, I assume, and then we'll pick a winner in the next for the next show. So
all right, well, right? Call today, I guess. 423-667-7877. Call us, give us a voicemail.
So this so the next episode we will have a winner drawn.
Yep, midnight tonight, the 12th. Yep, when you hear this.
Okay. All right. Midnight on the 12th.
We don't get to extend that for the rest of the week, just in case there's some scragglers coming along.
It's up to you. We can make up anything we want.
Yeah, you want this? Why don't we make it until like Friday or Saturday when we actually record?
Okay, fine by me. Right. Yeah, I love hearing the stories. I mean, it's not like it's, you know.
All right, good.
I'd rather hear more good stories.
All right, well, I appreciate this high five episode. It's been another doozy. Invite me to rehearsal.
These are good
time.
Stories.
I know, yeah, they're really lovely. I really liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. I really like the idea of being thoughtful and bringing your own vest just in case you need to meander traffic in the directions you needed to. That's a Brad guy move. That is a big time Brad guy move.
It's pretty strong. I've never seen anybody in a vest get stopped, so I like it.
That's a good point. Yep. All right, guys. Talk to you next week then. Thanks so much for everything.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.